All right. Now, what are some fundamental issues around a biblical concept of God? You and I need to understand some fundamental foundations of a biblical Christian worldview. Number one. The first one here is this. When it comes to a biblical Christian worldview and the correct concept of the God of the Bible is, number one, monotheism. That is the first issue. What is monotheism? We say there is one eternal being who is God, who created all things. That is the first thing. And you would find that at that point, the African traditionalism, they will tell you, yes, we also believe that. They'll tell you, we also believe that there's a mighty God who created us. Okay, let's keep going. The second point, we believe in creation. Creation out of nothing. That is what the Italian word says, ex nihilo. Creation out of nothing. So we believe God created. He says, let there be, and there was. Hello? That is a creation. God created all things out of nothing, and he is separate from his creation. Our God is self-existing. He was not created by any other. Besides him, there is no other God. So creation out of nothing is the second pillar around the correct biblical view of God. The third pillar is the supernaturalism. What do we mean? The universe is an open system in which God is involved. So our God is a very personal God. He wants to get involved with his creation. So he comes and he gets involved in the affairs of man. That is one of the differences with the God who is worshipped in the African traditionalism. He does not get involved in the affairs of men except when ancestors get involved. They will not talk about God has come and he's involved in our affairs. No, they speak of ancestors, dead people, getting involved with us. Another major difference with the African traditionalism is this. You do not sin against God, you sin against ancestors. That is why they'll tell you, you need to go and sacrifice to your ancestors to appease them. And yet we speak of a holy God. In Psalms 51, we speak of God, only to you have I committed this sin. But in our African traditionalism, we don't sin against the mighty one, we sin against the dead. That's the major difference. So, supernaturalism. The universe is an open system in which God is involved. Number four, revelation. God has revealed his character and will through nature, the scriptures, and Jesus Christ. So God has revealed his character. And he has revealed his character through nature, through the scriptures, and through Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is God alive on earth. Jesus is God in man form. You will not find that in any other God that we are talking about. The reason why we say God came and revealed himself in man through Jesus Christ, it is because Jesus conquered death. That is what makes him God. That is what makes him a revelation, a true reflection of God. Any other prophet has died and they did not rise from the dead. Why? Because they were not a reflection of the true God. If they were a reflection of a true God, they would have conquered death. Do you hear me this morning? Okay. So that is revelation. Number five, we speak of man's nature. Man is in God's image, but fallen from it. Man was created in the image of God, but man fell from the image of God. Do you know that it is only Jesus Christ who reveals the true state of the heart of a man? There is no other religion, there is no other God out there who is able to tell you the exact state of your heart. And it is the Lord Jesus who tells you that the heart of a man is evil above all things and cannot save itself. Yes. That is a very important difference between any other religion. Muhammad will not tell you that your heart is evil at its core. No, they will not tell you that. And because of that, because of the deprivation of a man's heart, man cannot save himself. That is the next point. So man's nature, man is in God's image, but fallen from it. Number six, man's need. Because of his fallen state, man is in need of salvation, and that salvation is only provided by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I am morally deprived, because I'm spiritually deprived, I have no capacity to take myself out of the mess. I cannot pull myself from the pit using my strings of my shoes. I need somebody who is above me, somebody who has not sinned like I have sinned. Because the moment that person has sinned, they are disqualified from saving a sinner. Amen. Do you hear me this morning? Amen. The moment somebody has sinned, they are disqualified from saving a sinner. That is why you and I are disqualified from saving any other person. We can only present the Savior, and the Savior will do his job. So you and I cannot save nobody. Why? Because we sinned. But the one who did not sin comes to save all sinners. Glory be to God. That's very, very important for people of God to understand. The last point around a biblical worldview is man's destiny. All of these other religions, they tell you all sorts of stories about man's destiny. They say you come back like something else. They'll say this issue, if you are dead, that's it. There's nothing else that happens. And hey, if you have that view, you live like an animal because you think there's nothing that happens to you after you're dead. But there's a destiny. The Bible here is the issue of destiny is man has an internal destiny, either in the presence of God or in separation from him. That is the foundation of a Christian worldview. Can we comprehend that as believers today? Do we have the conviction that this is the difference? That is why I can stand and say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Why? Because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The problem that we have today is that more and more Christians are getting diluted by modernism and postmodernism. They're getting diluted when they're told, don't worry, we serve the same God. No, we don't. It's a different concept of God. Now, I want to just concentrate a little bit on a touch. Time won't allow me. I want to go deeper in the Christian theism. Christian theism. What are the fundamentals? I've given you the seven pillars, but I want to go into the scriptures around the basis of our worldview, why we believe what we believe. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, there are a number of quotes I want to make here. You see, God has an opinion about everything on earth. God has an opinion and a view about family. God has an opinion and a view about education. God has an opinion and a view about the entertainment field. God has an opinion and a view about the sporting fraternity. But do we know the opinion of God around those issues? There's a guy by the name of Charles Finney. He was an American Presbyterian minister and leader in the Second Great Awakening in the United States. This is what he said. He said, the Christian church was designed to make aggressive movements in every direction, to lift up her voice and put forth her energies against iniquities in high and low places, to reform individuals, communities, and governments, and never rest until the whole kingdom and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the saints of the Most High God, till every form of iniquity is driven from the earth. You and I, people of God, we have a responsibility. We have a mandate to propagate the Christian worldview in our schools, to propagate the Christian worldviews when we are at work. Our problem is we are not grounded in that very view. And because of that, we are shaky. That is why I'm teaching you like this. Another guy by the name of Carl F.H. Henry was also an American evangelist. This is what he said. The task of Christian leadership is to confront modern men with the Christian world life view. The responsibility of a Christian leader is to confront modern men. It is to confront the person who sits next to you at work and share with them your Christian beliefs, your worldview. When I was preparing this morning, I came across this quote by John Calvin, the French reformist, who said, "A dog barks when its master is being attacked. I will not stand by like a coward when the truth of God is being attacked." He said, "A dog barks when its master is being attacked. And I will not stand like a coward when I see the truth of my God being attacked." Amen. How many times have we stood by and see the truth of our God being attacked and we just stand by like an unfaithful dog? Hello? Amen. Now, what are the basis of our walk and our belief? Number one, we've established this, there is God. Hello? But where do we find this in the scripture? Now, I've got scriptures here to back myself up. You see, when you write a thesis, when you make a proposition, you've got to back it up and say, this is where the evidence is. This is why I am making this statement. And I'm saying there is God and there is one God. Isaiah 43 verse 10. The Bible says, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, take note, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior." Amen. All right? Besides him there is no Savior. So you can go onto the website and you find more and more scriptures and you'll be able to do your own studying. Number two, the Christian Trinity is the only God. Now, do you see we're now peeling layers? Because remember, when you say in parliament, "Let's pray to God," everybody takes off their hats and they bow down and they pray to God. But which God? The reason why they all bow down their heads is because they can identify with the term God. But they cannot identify with the term Trinity. Because when you introduce Trinity, you are saying this God we are talking about, he is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That is where controversy comes in. So we are not just going to stop there by saying there is God, but we also say the God of the Trinity is the only true God. Genesis 1:26, "Then God said, let us make man in our image." Let us. He did not say, "Let me." The multiplicity of God. He said, "Let us make man in our own image." When you go back to Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God." When you look at the root word God in the Hebrew, it's Elohim. The multiplicity of God. So what, where is the multiplicity of God? Is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If the God you pray to cannot be identified in that Trinity, it is not the same God we're talking about. Amen. That is one of the clear distinctions. Can Allah say, "I am God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit"? He cannot. Can Shembe say that? No, he cannot. Those of you who know Shembe. Okay. Let us make man in our own image. John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That is one of the areas where the enemy has attacked. They have changed that scripture to read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." Making a distinction between God the Father and God the Son. And yet we know they are distinct, but they are God. So Jesus was in the beginning. He was involved in creation. He was involved in that creativity moment with the Father. That is why the Bible says, God said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was void, it was shapeless, and the Holy Spirit was hovering on top of the waters. Then the Bible says, then God spoke, let there be. Right there you see God the Father, you see God the Holy Spirit, you see God Jesus, the Word. So we're talking about the God of the Trinity. That is the true God. Number three. God has revealed himself in three ways: in creation, in the Bible, and in Jesus. You can go check for yourself those scriptures. That God himself, this is the God we're talking about, he revealed himself through creation. He revealed himself through creation. Now, talking about all these other gods, when you go to Romans 1:21, the Bible says, though they knew God, but they did not worship him as God. That's very important for us to understand. They acknowledge there's God, but they perverted the worship of God. It's a perverted concept of God that all these other religions have. Now, God has revealed himself in three ways: in creation, in the Bible, and in Jesus. Let's go to Hebrews 1:1. I love this one. It says here, God, who at various times, in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That scripture tells you that God revealed himself through his Son. God revealed himself through nature. God revealed himself through the Word of God. John 5:39 says here, Jesus was saying, you search the scriptures. Now he says, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. What? The scriptures. These are they that testify of me. Number four. I'm building a case here. God created the universe and all that is in it with order and design. The universe is not an accident. The universe was not a result of the Big Bang Theory, whatever that is. But what I know, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 44:24, that says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by himself or by myself. You see, somebody can come to you and say, well, Michael, you're saying it was not through the Big Bang. What if God created the world that way? That's not my point. My point is God created the heavens and the earth. Glory be to God. All of that came out of God. Number five, the unseen supernatural world is just as real as the physical world. This is very important. Remember, the naturalists believe that we are in a closed system that has no interaction with anything else. It's just us. But here, I want you to see that God, the unseen supernatural world, is so real. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The supernatural world, the spiritual realm, is more real than what we see on the in the physical. Job 1 verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, where was this happening? In the supernatural. There was a day where God, where the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Lucifer, Satan, was there as well. All right. This is how real this world was. Job was a victim of cosmic events that were happening out of his space. When God says, have you had a look at my servant Job? Job had nothing to do with that conversation, but he got implicated. Why? Because the supernatural world is as real as the natural world. And we see the impact in the life of Job that emanated from what happened in the spiritual realm. Okay, let's try and see how much we can push here. God made man in his own image, distinct from the animals. Man did not evolve. There's a distinction between the creation of man and the creation of animals. Why? Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God created humanity in separation from animals. We do not hear God saying, "Let me now make a lion in my own image." He just said, "Let there be a lion." And there was a lion. But when he created man, he molded him from the dust of the earth. And the Bible says he was there lying lifeless, and he breathed himself into that mold, and it came to life. The distinction between man and animal, it is that breath that was breathed into that sand. It became humanity. It became a natural being. And this morning, I want you to know you are separate from animals. The next thing, number 7, man from conception is human and possesses dignity due to being made in God's image. You carry dignity. No one has a right to dominate over you, because the Bible says, have dominion over the earth, not over another human being. Have dominion over the animals of the earth, not over other human beings. That is why issues of tribalism, racism are not in line with the word of God. You might have heard people saying, "Well, the Bible teaches us that." No, I don't know what Bible they're reading. It's not the right way. The Bible says that they were equal, male and female. Amen. And he gave them dominion over the earth. There are scriptures that will answer to that. It says there, "Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb?" He fashioned you in the womb. That is why you have dignity. You were formed, you were created in the image of God. Psalms 139 verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." When you go to Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Glory be to God. Number 8, Adam and Eve were the first family, male and female, according to the purpose of God, for what? Procreation and glorifying him. Therefore, homosexuality is unnatural. I'm going to say this because this is what we believe. This is what the word of God says. I have a right to my views. And as a church, we have a right to what we believe in. And what we believe is what the scriptures say. The Bible says he created them, male and female, and he said to them, "Multiply, subdue the earth." In the design of God, it would take a womb and a sperm for there to be procreation. If you bring two wombs together, in the absence of the one that produces the sperm, there will be no procreation. That is why here we are saying homosexuality is unnatural. I will address that matter in some other topics to come. But the design of God, we see it in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Hello, somebody. Amen. I'm going to cover the last one. There's more here. I'm going to do the last one because of time. Man is morally responsible and answerable to God. Man is morally responsible and answerable to God. It doesn't matter how high I go in my career, in my authority, I still remain answerable to God. It doesn't matter what type of title I have in the church, a bishop, treeshop, whatever you can call me, I am still answerable to God. Whether you're a father in the house, you might be a head of your house, but you're still answerable to God. Whether it's a president who runs a country to the ground, they're still answerable to God. That's a Christian worldview. Where do I get this? Romans 14:11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, to God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And this morning, people of God, it doesn't matter how strong somebody would be, as long as they were created by God and every human being was created by God, they remain morally accountable and answerable to God. What, on that day when we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, are we able to give account? Are we able to give account? So this morning I've tried to present to you these three major worldviews: the naturalism, the pantheism, the theism, in which we have narrowed down to the Christian theism, which is what we believe in, which brings a distinction between all the other religions that profess to pray to an almighty God, but it's a different and perverted concept of God. I hope we got something this morning. I want us to stand on our feet. That was a mouthful. Did you get something this morning? I want us to pray for more wisdom, for more understanding, for boldness around these things.